Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Our mission is to equip you in truth with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment as a foundation for experiencing the authentic Christian life through fellowship with God and Christ. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And to repeat the number, again, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It is Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We will go to your calls in just a moment. But I want to mention something I read in Sunday's Wall Street Journal. It was a book review of a controversial new translation of the Hebrew Bible by a professor named Professor Robert Alter. He is a professor at the University of California, Berkeley. And according to Alter, the very first words of the Bible, "In the beginning, God," have long been misconstrued. And thus, Alter alters the words to read, "When God began to create the heavens and the earth." Why? Because in his opinion, God did not create the universe ex nihilo, out of nothing. Rather, God was merely an assembler of elements already in existence. And while all of this is breathlessly touted in the Wall Street Journal as something unique, in reality, it is a very old canard, a canard that flies in the very face of Big Bang cosmology, which clearly lends credibility to the biblical contention that God did, in fact, create the universe ex nihilo, that he did, in fact, create the universe out of nothing. And as such, Big Bang cosmology, in concert with the Bible, stands in stark opposition to the scientifically silly suggestion that the universe has eternally existed. And while we shouldn't stake our faith on Big Bang cosmology, we can be absolutely certain that as human understanding progresses, and it most certainly will, creation will continue to point to the triadic one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence out of nothing. And by the way, philosophical naturalism can only provide three explanations for the existence of the universe. One, it's an illusion. Two, it sprang from nothing. Or three, it eternally existed. But none of these makes any sense. What does make sense in an age of scientific enlightenment is precisely what the first few words of Genesis proffer. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. For Alter, to alter Genesis is hardly enlightened. And for Alter, the book of Genesis, as well as the whole Old Testament, is hardly inerrant. Instead, from his perspective, it is a highly flawed book that swerves and stumbles and ultimately falls prostrate before its own inconsistencies and hesitations. But there's nothing new here. This is just sheer modern propaganda that is in desperate need of a counter, and all of us need to do just that. Be ready always to give an answer, a counter, as it were, to those propositions that are so popular in our world that undermine the very essence of Scripture. And if you get rid of the first few sentences of Genesis, or even the first three words, you alter Genesis dramatically. And again, it is up to Christians to stand against these breathlessly portrayed articles that somehow or other make it erudite, to cast aspersions on Scripture. The Scripture is a literary masterpiece that deserves nothing less than our awe and not our alteration. Let us go to the phone lines. We'll talk to Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Ron is listening on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good afternoon, Hank.
Good afternoon. In
Matthew 16, the Lord is talking about Peter, and he asked, or he says, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against you. What are the gates of Hades?
Yeah, this is an idiomatic expression. It is a metaphor, if you will. And so the idea in Scripture is that the gates are suggestive of a fortified city. And there's a lot of Old Testament warrant for making that assertion. So the idea would become that in shattering the gates of a fortified city, Christ is opening the stronghold of death, and he's setting free the souls who are held captive in its sway. And so, again, you don't want to take idiomatic expressions or metaphors and try to make them walk on all fours, but you do want to understand the import. It's very much like an example I give all the time, just because it's easy to understand. If I say it's raining cats and dogs, if I make that metaphor walk on all fours, you're going to have an absurdity. But if you understand the intent of the metaphor, it is to say that it is raining very, very hard. And the same thing here. The Old Testament gates suggest a fortified city. Christ opens the stronghold. He opens the gates, and he releases the souls that are held captive.
Yeah, I think would the idea then be that, talking to the disciples, that after the resurrection they're to go into all the world and preach the gospel, that they will go to all the world, even the very strongholds of Satan.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant insight on your part. Absolutely. The church will not be stopped in the proclamation of the gospel. And so I think you have drawn the proper conclusion from that passage.
Okay. Thank you very much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gail in Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Gail.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my call this evening. Been following your ministry for 30 years, and it's saved me from a lot of wrong turns in my walk with the Lord, so I thank you for that. You there?
Yes, yes.
Hello? Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I lost you.
No, no.
Call dropped. I'm out in the country. My question is, after not being in the church for 2 years because of such bad stuff creeping into our churches anymore, I found a church, but it is based in Calvinism. I don't know that I could ever wrap my head around the whole predestination thing. And I know John wasn't happy when you converted to Orthodoxy. I don't think that's something to divide us. But how do you feel about that, Calvinism?
Well, you know, in Orthodoxy, we have a robust view of libertarian freedom. And so I don't hold at all to the Calvinist notion that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man, but also in him, the ruin of his posterity. And that God, again, at his own pleasure, arranged this. And the reason I don't hold to that is I think that it flies in the face of the biblical paradigm. And this paradigm is communicated in various ways throughout the Scripture. As I live, declares the Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should turn from their evil ways and be saved. And I look at many scriptures like this. For example, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. So again, I hold to a robust view of libertarian freedom. I don't hold to the Calvinist dictum that I just communicated. Now, having said that, I have two brother-in-laws who are Calvinist pastors, and they are some of the finest people you will ever meet in your life. They will proclaim with great power and passion the sovereignty of God, as I will as well. But I see this as an antinomy. On the one hand, I believe in the sovereignty of God. On the other hand, I believe in genuine human freedom. Our decisions really do matter. Much more could be said about that. We have some articles on the web at equip.org that are helpful in this regard. Several debates in print that we ran in the Christian Research Journal. Again, you can check them out on the web at equip.org. Do remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, when you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, we have some incredible resources available to you, including Dallas Willard's book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, and his other book, the title of which...
In his book, The Divine Conspiracy, Dallas Willard writes, "One of the greatest deceptions in the practice of the Christian religion is the idea that all that really matters is our feelings, ideas, beliefs, and intentions. It is this mistake about the psychology of the human being that more than anything else divorces salvation from life, leaving us a head full of vital truths about God and a body unable to fend off sin." To receive your copy of The Divine Conspiracy, Rediscovering Our Hidden Life in God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing ministries. That's 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. At the beginning of this broadcast, I talked about a professor at the University of California, Berkeley, who is altering the Word of God. He's mistranslating the Word of God. And if you are going to mistranslate the Word of God, like the Mormons do or the Jehovah's Witnesses do, you have to do a very, very good job of it. Not just alter the beginning, but alter the entirety of it. Otherwise, your alteration needs an alteration. For example, and I'll make this the quote of the day, in Isaiah 45:18, the Lord says this, "For this is what the Lord says, He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. And He says, I am the Lord. There is no other." Or as John puts it, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Prior to the Triadic One, there was nothing. There was no time. There was no space. There were no elements. God created the universe out of nothing. And I think what's very, very important for all of us to recognize is that if you chop the legs out from under the first few chapters of Genesis, you cause the entire superstructure to fall as well. And this is precisely what skeptical professors are doing. And they're doing it to great effect with their students. They assert, for example, that Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 contradict one another. And if the beginning, again, is a contradiction, you can't trust the rest of it. The professors know that, and again, use it to great effect. And here's the argument. In chapter 1, well, the creation of plants precedes the creation of man and animals. Whereas in chapter 2, the creation of man precedes the creation of plants and animals. Now, what should be evident at first blush is that it is highly unlikely that an author would contradict himself within the span of several sentences. And given the sophistication of the literary genres employed in Genesis, any professor worth his salt ought to be alerted to a deeper purpose within the narrative. And there is. Chapter 1 presents a three-level hierarchy of God's creative prowess, memorably associated with the days of creation. And chapter 2, well, chapter 2 focuses on the crowning jewels of God's creation, on man and woman who are designated to be in right relationship with both creation and the Creator. We should, of course, also remember that the language of Scripture is a heavenly condescension so that finite human beings can know something of the nature and purposes of our infinite God. Much more could be said, but again, it's your responsibility to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, and to do it with gentleness and with respect. John Nex in Boulder, Colorado, listening on KRKS. Hi, John.
Hi, Hank. It's Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Love your show. Long-time listener. Say, I know you get asked this question a lot, but I wanted to ask about 1 John 5:11-13. It seems like the Apostle John is pretty emphatic about that the Lord wants us to know we have eternal life. So my question is, can a truly, genuinely born-again believer ever lose salvation?
Well, you know, the passage that you are referring to is one that I've quoted often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the testimony that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in His Son, that he who has the Son has life and that he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so John says, "I write this to you, to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. But now, how do you know you have eternal life? Well, if you look at Hebrews 3, you know that you have eternal life, that you share in Christ if you hold on to your convictions to the very end. And that's why the Orthodox Church always says we are saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. Which is to say that the Christian faith is not a transaction, it's a transformational relationship with God that takes us from glory to glory. The port of salvation is not the goal. The goal is for the saved to continue a journey whose sole goal is union with God. So the greater...
And I understand that goal, and I believe that that's our goal, to strive to walk just like Jesus did. But I just wanted to kind of pin you down that, you know, what about the person that apparently has walked that walk for a long time and then falls away? I mean, can a person that's truly, genuinely committed their life to Christ, is born again, is it possible to lose salvation?
Well, again, you invoke the name of Jesus Christ, and I would say, let's go to the Olivet Discourse and see what Jesus Christ said. He says, the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. And I do see logic in the question that you're asking, because it is true that if you are part of the body of Christ, if you are genuinely walking with Christ, then the one who saved you will also allow you to persevere in the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That God, therefore, as Jude puts it, is able to keep you from falling and will present you before his glorious presence without fault. So if you are genuinely born again, if Christ is not merely a means to your end, but he is the end, and you are not being saved as a Lone Ranger believer, but you've been baptized to your old life, raised to newness of life through his resurrection power, you take up your cross, you daily follow him within the context of the body of Christ, the church, then you will persevere. Because you'll be in a context where everything is weighted towards perseverance.
The assumption in that argument is there must be some level of perseverance that you must attain to in order to continue to be a saved, born again follower of Christ. And so, what I'm getting, and I'm not trying to be the devil's advocate for a minute, but I'm believing that you hold a position that yes, it is possible to lose salvation.
Well, I think that it is certainly possible for someone to say that they are saved, to have a transactional relationship with the Lord. As a Lone Ranger believer, I think that you can have someone like a Judas who was part of the inner circle of Jesus Christ, but really didn't love Christ. He loved what was on Christ's table. So Christ for Judas was merely a means to his own end as opposed to being the end. So I think that's possible. But I think that if you are genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been baptized, you've been chrismated, you're within the context of the body of Christ, you're growing as a believer, you're receiving the graces by which we are transformed from one glory to another, well, then we can know that, as Paul says in Philippians, he who began a good work in you is going to carry on that work to completion.
Yeah. Well, you know, almost daily or weekly, we pick up a news article about some very committed, high-profile minister of a conservative church that's, you know, had an affair or gone on to a different lifestyle. And I just, you know, I mean, that person is, I mean, from an outward appearance, is not persevering in the faith. My belief is that in eternal security. I don't believe that a truly, genuinely born-again believer can lose their salvation. I think that regardless, if it's two steps forward and one back during life, that doesn't mean that they are not a committed believer. I guess only God can really judge the heart. But
yeah, well, I don't disagree with what you just said. Again, I quoted Hebrews chapter 3, we share in Christ if we hold our convictions to the very end, not my words, but the words of Paul in Hebrews 3, And the words of Jesus Christ, the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. And again, you don't do that as a Lone Ranger Christian. You always do that within the context of the body of Christ. Fair to say that he who has God as his father has to have the church as his mother. Again, it's in the church that we receive the graces by which we persevere, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Good conversation. Appreciate your perspective. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. My apologies to those calling in. I'll be right back here tomorrow with more answers on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to answering your questions then. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, again, numerically 888-275-4265. My thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. You're touching the lives of people all around the planet. Do remember the resources available for those who support the ministry this month: The Spirit of the Disciplines by Dallas Willard, as well as The Divine Conspiracy, also by Dallas Willard, two of my favorite books, books that I've read and reread and quoted often on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Out of here for today. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.